So good morning.
Welcome
to Birch Ridge. My name is Milton. I'm really glad that you're here today as we continue in this series talking about the life of Samson. Samson was a man who was set apart from birth, chosen by God to help deliver the people of Israel from the Philistines. Samson was a man with so much God-given potential, as each and every one of you are as well. But with Samson, he made choice after choice after choice that led to self-destruction. In fact, last week we found a sentence that could summarize his entire life. Samson was an incredibly strong man with a dangerously weak will. He was an incredibly strong man with a dangerously weak will. And so today we're going to look at another of Samson's weaknesses. And this is it. Write it down. Samson was emotion-driven, not spirit-led. Samson was emotion-driven, not spirit-led. Y'all, we're supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. Am I right? Some of y'all get that, right? We're supposed to be led by the Spirit of God, not driven by our emotions. Unfortunately, many of us allow ourselves to be driven by how we feel and react to situations. And something makes us mad, or we feel sad or upset, discouraged, and all these things. And we are driven by emotion rather than led by the Spirit. Perhaps the more dangerous than that is so many people won't even acknowledge that as a reality. They won't even acknowledge that this is truth. But as I often say, truth remains the truth whether you believe it or not. Right? It's just true. Okay? In fact, that's happened to me. Right? Emotion-driven rather than spirit-led. I know some of you, I can hear the, say it's not so. Right? I know it's hard to believe, but it has happened to me where I have been caught up and driven by my emotions rather than led by the Spirit. I won't tell you how long ago this particular story happened, but suffice it to say, it was well into my years of being a pastor. One day I was driving in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and three teenage punks. Now, listen, you gotta set the scene a little bit. I had just pulled out of Scooter's Coffee. And if you ever heard of Scooter's Coffee, it is absolutely amazing. It has caramelicious drinks. And it's like so good, right? Anyway, I just pulled out from Scooter's with my caramelicious. I was, nothing could mess up that day. Right? And then these three punks pulled right out in front of me, causing me to slam on my brakes, spilling some of my caramelicious. And I'm like, oh no, you did it. Right? And to make things worse, they started mocking me and laughing at the old man, and then they started telling me I was number one without the index finger. And so I'm like, no, no. And so I get right up behind them. Right? And then they whip onto the interstate and they floor it. And I'm like, okay, game on. I'm going to see how fast this Nissan Titan will go. And so I jump on the interstate right behind them and I'm flooring. And I'm going faster than the speed limit. Okay? And all of a sudden, everything came into view. And when everything became crystal clear, and I realized there's only a few outcomes to this situation. Number one, I catch these punks and I whoop their butts. And then I probably go to jail for assault. That didn't sound like a winner. Number two, I catch them and they whoop my butt. Well, that sounds embarrassing. Number three, the cops catch me and take some of my money. That doesn't sound good either. Or number four, someone recognizes me and tells my wife. That one scared the fire out of me and I called off the pursuit. Okay? The problem is so many times we get caught up in our emotions and it takes us away. And even though we know what we're supposed to do, we don't do it. We get emotion driven rather than spirit led. And I'm like a lover of Jesus and I've got the godly drink of a caramelicious in my hand. I mean, I want to do what's right. But then that happened. And though I wanted to do what's right, I also wanted a woman, right? And so there was this internal struggle that was happening, and Paul describes this struggle really, really well in Romans chapter 7 and verse 14. He says, so the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. For so many of us, it's because we're emotion-driven rather than spirit-led. That's why Paul also said in Galatians chapter 5, in verse 16, he says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be driving 100 miles an hour down the interstate chasing. No. Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what our sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your own good intentions. So, in the story of Samson, let's see how this plays out in Samson's life. Last week, we looked at how Samson started chasing after forbidden women, right? This Philistine woman. And he said, oh, I see her. It said she caught his eye, right? And he's like, I gotta have her. I don't care what you say, Dad. I don't care what you say, God. I don't care what's right. I don't care what's wrong. I don't care what's wise. I don't care what's unwise. I want her. And he goes ahead and gets engaged to her, right? Then he throws himself a big old bachelor party, and he's hanging out partying, drinking with 30 Philistine guys, the enemy, right? And in this bachelor party, he's probably had a few too many, and he says, hey, guys, I got a riddle for you. Let's have a battle of the wits, right? And then to make it worse, he puts a wager on it. He makes a bet. It's really dumb, and I'll explain why. But he bets 30 pieces of clothing and 30 pieces of linen that they can't solve his riddle. Now, here's why it's really dumb. Because if he wins, they only each have to give him one set of clothing and one set of linen. If he loses, he's got to come up with 30 pieces of linen and 30 pieces of clothing. Really dumb bet. But anyway, he says, I'll give you all 7 days to figure it out. Remember from last week? What did Samson do that violated one of his Nazarite vows? Anybody? He touched a dead lion, right? What did he do with this dead lion? What's that? He took some honey out of it. He scooped himself up a handful of honey, right? And that plays into the riddle. Judges chapter 14 and verse 14. It says, out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. What's he talking about? He's talking about the lion and the honey, right? But for 3 days, the Philistines can't figure it out. They're losing the bet, and they're starting to get mad, right? So finally, they go up to Samson's fiance, and they're like, you need to get him to tell us what the answer to this riddle is. And she was kind of like, no, I'm not going to do it. And he's like, you're going to do it, or I'm going to kill you and your dad. So she's like, okay, right? So she goes, she agrees to do it. And what does she do? She uses, I think, women's greatest weapon. Tears. I mean, it works almost every time. I served in law enforcement for about a decade before my ministry days. And I can't tell you how many times I would pull over a car. Let's just say I pull over a car for speeding, and I walk up there, and I'm like, man, do you realize you were doing 50 and a 35? Like, no, I'm sorry, I had no idea. Can I have your driver's license, registration, proof of insurance, please? And while she's digging for these documents, she starts sobbing. My stars. So I get her 3 documents, and I go back to the car, and I check to make sure her driver's license is valid, she's not wanted, no warrants, and then I'll usually just sit there for a couple minutes, and then I'll walk back up to the car, and I'm like, here's your stuff back, slow down, drive careful, have a good day, goodbye, right? Just works so many times. Don't try that, it's awfully painful for the cop, but it works, right? It works. But anyway, she does this with Samson. And finally, on the seventh day, he caves and he tells her the answer to the riddle. And then she, in turn, goes to the Philistines and gives them the goods. So we jump down to verse 18 of chapter 14 in Judges. Before sunset on the seventh day, the men of the town said to him, "What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion?" Samson's like, "Are you kidding me?" He's mad. He is livid, right? And embarrassed. They figured out his riddle. He's embarrassed and angry, and then he says the most awful thing a man can say. Okay? In the second half of verse 18, it says, "If you had not plowed with my heifer..." "You would not have solved my riddle." You can laugh if you want that right there for me. Okay? But guys, I got two very important lessons to learn from this. One, never let anyone plow with your wife. And two, never call your wife a heifer. And all of God's ladies said, "Yeah." And here is where Samson caves into the weakness that so many of us get caught up in even today. Rather than responding with the Spirit of God that lives in us, we are driven by the emotions that also live in us, that Paul talks about, this internal struggle. Instead of being led by the Spirit, we're driven by our emotions. Emotion-driven, not Spirit-led. And watch as Samson falls victim to two emotions that continue to take strong people down even to this day. The first one is this, write it down. Samson burned with anger. Samson burned with anger. Judges chapter 14 and verse 19. "Then the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. He went down to Ashkelon, struck down 30 of their men, stripped them of everything, and gave their clothes to those who explained the riddle." So he's a murderer, but at least he's an honest one, right? He pays his debts. Okay? "And he gave those to those who explained the riddle." Now say this with me. Burning with anger. Say it with me one more time. Burning with anger, he returned to his father's home. So Samson gets all mad and he goes out and kills 30 innocent men to take their clothing to pay back those that solved the riddle. But then it gets worse. And it gets worse. Look at verse 20. "And Samson's wife was given to one of his companions who had attended him at the feast." So Samson is already having a bad day, right? He's already upset. He's already in one of those moods. He is mad. Right? He is beyond mad. And then he discovers that his future father-in-law had given up on him. So we don't know exactly how long he was gone on this murder spree, but it must have been a while, because the future father-in-law was like, "Dude, you do not leave my daughter standing at the altar. Right? I want to give her to your best man." And that's basically what happened. Right? And so Samson is just fried. He is so angry. He's like, "You don't know what to do." And so he's already super angry, so he gets 150 pairs of foxes, and he ties their tails together, and then he lights a torch between their tails and turns them loose in the Philistines' fields to burn down their crops. Now the Philistines are super angry, and they take Samson's would-have-been wife and her dad, and they burn them to death. Did you get all of that? Do you see how losing a temper can cost so dearly? Oh my goodness. Here's the deal, guys. I contend that anger is our default emotion. So many things happen, so many, especially for men, so many different situations arise in our lives, and our natural bent is anger. Like, even if we get embarrassed, if somebody embarrasses us, we're embarrassed, but we also feel a bit of anger. "How dare you do me like that? Like, you threw me under the bus like that? I'll get you, you get yours," right? We may not say it out loud, but inside, we're a little angry about it. We get up in the middle of the night to go to the refrigerator, whatever, we stub our toe on the event table or whatever, we're so bright, what do? We turn around and kick the very inanimate object that caused us pain to begin with, which causes us even more pain, right? Our anger just causes us to do dumb things. I mean, think about this for a moment. Samson is just mad at the world, but why is he mad? Samson was the one who chose to chase after the Philistine women. Samson is the one who chose to disobey God, disobey his dad's advice, say, I don't care, I won't marry her anyway. Samson's the one that threw himself a bachelor party, and he's the one that taunted the Philistines with this riddle. Samson's the one that fessed up the answer to his riddle. Samson is the one who went out on a murder spree, killing 30 men. Samson is the one who set the Philistines' crops on fire. He's mad at the world, and the truth of the matter is he's got no one to blame but himself. Like, he made these choices. And now he's mad at everybody else. Does this sound familiar to anybody? Right? Hopefully more than just me, right? We make all of these choices, and then we have the consequences, but somehow we're mad at everybody else for it. And that's what happened with Samson. He is the one who is responsible. His name is all over these decisions. More times than not, we are responsible for the consequences. And so many times it's because of our anger. So number one, Samson burned with anger. That's the first emotion that takes strong people down. The second one is this. Samson was filled with pride. Samson was filled with pride. And he goes out knowing, fully aware that God's power, God's supernatural strength and power is upon him. And watch what he does with it. Judges chapter 15, in verse 15. Finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and struck down 1,000 men. Can we just pause there for a moment and go, whoa? Everybody say that with me. Whoa. 1,000. Listen, I could probably take those 3 punks on a good day that pulled out in front of me. As long as they weren't too big. Right? But not 5 or 10 or 20 or 50 of them. Samson struck down 1,000. But remember, we need to remember something. That was with God's spirit and power upon him. In other words, church, tell me what's impossible with God. Nothing, right? Church, tell me what's impossible with God. Nothing shall be impossible with God. But watch who takes the credit for it. In verse 16, then Samson said, with a donkey's jawbone, what's it say? I have made donkeys of them. With a donkey's jawbone, what's it say? I have killed 1,000 men. Remember, pride is always born out of our insecurities. When we don't know who we are in Christ, pride will rise up within us and take us down. Scripture says that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. It also said that pride goes before the fall, right? Listen, this all happens because we want to be the main character in the story. We wake up in the morning, we look in the mirror, and what's it all about? It's about me, right? We got to make ourselves look good. We've got a plan today. We've got an agenda. We've got desires. We're hungry. It's natural that life is, it seems natural that life is all about us. But the problem is when we think and actually believe that we are the main character of our story, we want it to be about us. We want to win. And when we win, we're filled with pride. And when we don't win, we're angry. Those two emotions that bring strong people down, anger and pride. But listen, when God becomes the main character of the story, then it's no longer about us. And we're not about trying to please ourselves. We're not trying to please an audience. We're trying to please one, and that's Jesus. When we put God in his rightful place, that he is the main character in the story and not us, we'll be living from the approval of God. And that changes everything. That changes everything. And all of a sudden, you can be who God created you to be. I want you to realize something. I believe in you. God believes in you. I believe there is incredible spiritual strength inside each and every one of you. But I think it's also important this morning for us to realize that so many times, rather than being led by the Spirit of God, we're driven by our emotions. I mean, God created us in his image. We have these emotions. But we can't turn to go, well, this is just the way God made me. You're going to have to deal with it. No. That means Paul's talking about this war inside of us. That I want to do what's right, but I don't. You know, I don't want to do what's wrong, but I end up doing that. He's like, oh, what a mess I am, right? You can't just keep, you know, well, I'm created in God's image. This is just the way I am. You're just going to have to deal with it. No. I think Jesus said, Jesus said there's nothing wrong with anger. Matter of fact, Jesus said, be angry, but don't sin in your anger. Right? Be angry about the things that angers God. Have a righteous indignation, a righteous anger, but don't sin in it. Jesus got mad. But we know the scripture says that he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He never sinned. Right? So you can't just go getting sassy and bossy and making it all about you and say, well, that's just the way I am. God made me this way. You can't play that card, right? So when we get to the place where we say yes, so often I am emotion driven rather than spirit led, but I don't want to be. Holy Spirit, please help me to rein in these emotions. Help me to become angry about the things that makes you angry. Help me to become humble, not prideful. One of the biggest things we can do is acknowledge these two things. These two emotions take down so many people. Every day, all around us. And just getting to that place of acknowledging this danger and saying, God, I realize oftentimes I am driven by my emotions and not led by the Spirit. Please help me. That's the first place to start. That's the greatest place to start. I want to be led by God's Holy Spirit. I want to be a person of integrity and character and spiritual strength. Remember last week, the world has yet to see what God can do with one man, with one woman, wholly committed to him. May you be that person. May you be that person.
Oh, you are
here.
touching every heart. I worship you.
I worship you.
I worship you.
Oh.
You are here, mending every heart. I worship you.
I worship you.
I worship you.
You're working, you never stop, you never stop working, you never stop, you never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God.